Well, if you remember last Lent and Advent, I kind of switch up my homily a little bit and give my homily in two parts. And the first part is explain an aspect of the Mass, a reminder of why we do what we do, because it's so easy to forget. And the second part is a normal homily, just shorter. And so for part one today, I want to speak about a word that we use every time that we pray, but holds an especially important place in the Mass. And that is how we end prayer, that word that we say when we say Amen. Now, there are two ways to translate the word Amen, and one is a more direct translation, and the other is more indirect. The direct translation of Amen is, so be it. And so every time we say Amen, we are saying, so be it. And then the indirect way is, I believe. So we can think of whenever we say Amen, we can think we're saying, so be it, and I believe. And I want to look at both of them in their various contexts that show just how beautiful it is to end our prayer with that word. And the first and most common time we say Amen is after everyday prayers, such as at meals, when we say the Hail Mary, the Our Father, formal prayers such as that. And we end these prayers, we say Amen, meaning so be it. And so we are saying after we say all of those prayers, we are saying what just has been said, we say, let it be so. And so let's take the Our Father, for example. We say, Our Father, hallowed be your name. We say, Amen, so be it, so may his name be hallowed. Forgive us our trespasses. Amen, so be it. May we have our transgressions forgiven as we forgive others' transgressions. Amen, so be it. So may we forgive others. But there's also another dynamic here that we often offer these prayers up for a particular intention. For the family member who has cancer, for world peace, for an increase in faith. And we lift up these intentions and prayers, concluding with, Amen. So be it, I believe. We finish our prayer and our ask by telling the Lord, Lord, I ask you for this particular favor. I believe that you will hear and answer me, but also so be it according to your will and not my own. And I trust in how you will answer it. And so finishing our prayer and intention with Amen is a statement of trust, that we entrust our intention to God, knowing that he'll answer it in the best possible way. Now, another time that we say Amen that I want to talk about, which happens exclusively in the Mass, is when we come up the aisle and receive the Lord. But the minister says, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, and we say, Amen. So be it. I believe. Should never forget the power of this word in this moment. That the words, the body of Christ, we are saying, Amen, I believe. I believe that what you say is true. That what looks like bread before me is truly the body of Christ. That what looks like bread is in reality the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So be it, Amen, I believe, is a profound profession of faith whenever we come up and receive the Eucharist with those words. So Amen is, in a sense, a word of finality, of saying that what was just heard, what we see, is true and real. It is true that God hears my prayers, and it is real that he will answer them. It is true that the bread is changed into Jesus and is not merely a symbol. It is the real Jesus, the same one who laid in a manger and hung upon the cross. Amen, I believe, so be it. I think if we keep that definition in mind, it can powerfully enhance our experience of every prayer that we pray. Now, one word of note, sometimes when people who know this come up for communion, they may say, instead of saying amen, they say, I believe, to kind of express that. It's still most proper to use the word amen, because it carries both of those connotations of so be it and I believe. Okay, that was part one. On to part two. We begin the season of Advent this weekend and the new liturgical year. And as I was reading the readings, I just kind of saw this interesting connection that they all had, that all of them in some ways carried a temporal theme. What I mean by that is they talk about time. And we hear in the first reading, we hear in the days to come. And so there's this reference to the future time. St. Paul in the second reading says, you know the time, it is the hour now for you to wake from sleep. And so he's speaking to us in a present time. And then the gospel, Jesus says, in the days of Noah, referring to the past time. And he also says, you do not know the day that the Lord will come. And so again, he's speaking of a future time. And so that notion of time was really coming to mind, and I kind of have to apologize because actually my capstone class in college was on the philosophy of time, and my final paper was on backwards causation, and if it's possible, I argued that it is in some cases. And so I'm going to kind of get a little philosophical here, I'll try not to go down too many rabbit holes. But I think an understanding of time as you begin this new liturgical season is very important spiritually and can greatly help us as we begin Advent. Now, a technical definition of time is that it's a measurement of change. That just as we use a ruler to measure the length or width of an object, we use time to measure change. An example of this is what we call a day. That what time of the day it is determined by the changing of the Earth's position in relation to the sun. So when we say it's 9 o'clock, we say, well, the Earth's position has changed from when it was at 8 a.m. And when we apply this, though, to spiritual life and the life of faith, if we think of time as change, this brings a new dynamic to the question that we can sometimes ask ourselves of how are we spending our time in life? Because how we spend the time is really the same as answering the question, how am I changing in life? Give an example, if I spend my time exercising, my body will change into that of an athlete. A spiritual example would be, if I spend my time in prayer, I will change to be more like God. So how we spend our time is how we change, good or bad. Which brings us then to this start of Advent and the start of the new liturgical time, where I think the readings are inviting us to do to prepare for Christmas is to consider in these next 4 weeks, how are you going to spend your time preparing for Christmas? In other words, how are you going to change? And perhaps for some examples of that might be perhaps adding 10 minutes of prayer each and every day. 10 minutes of changing to be more like God. Perhaps in this Advent season, it's cutting 10 minutes of social media. 10 minutes of not changing to be more like our culture. Sort of Advent starts by asking us this fundamental question of how do we spend our time? How are we changing? Are we changing more into a saint or less? Could we say that yesterday I've progressed more into the role of sainthood than yesterday? Has that change occurred just a slightly more? And so this Advent, let us truly spend our time wisely as we start this new time to change into the men and women that God created us to be and not into what the world wants us to be.